welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. Today's teaching is a continuation of the topic on false teachers. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave continues answering this hard question with a solid answer.
Let the beauty where you stand.
In Philippians 2, when it comes to following Jesus, as you follow Jesus, there's no promise there he's going to make you wealthy or healthy. Can God heal? Yes. Can he choose not to? Yes. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Really, you guys heard that he was sick, and apparently Paul didn't teach you that you shouldn't have to be sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, so he didn't die. And not only him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, but when you see him again, you may rejoice and I be less sorrowful. So apparently Paul and Epaphroditus didn't understand the whole name and claim it. Didn't understand that you're not supposed to be sick. And as soon as you said you were sick, you were speaking something negative. Nowhere do I see any sort of rebuke. Hey, we blew it. Epaphroditus got sick. I know that means he has lack of faith, so we're working on that for him. Doesn't say that. He was sick. 2 Timothy 4:20. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. That's Paul. Trophimus. I had to leave him behind because he was sick. Paul, where's your faith? Are you sure you want Trophimus to be a disciple? And he obviously doesn't get the whole thing that he's not supposed to be sick. He's supposed to be healthy. He needs to visualize it. He needs to speak it forth with his words. Apparently, Joel Osteen knows something that Paul didn't know. That's arrogance. Did Jesus teach us to leave and leave us an example of living our best life now? How did he show that to us? I want you to go to John 12. John 12, verse 23. But Jesus answered, said to them, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. But you're supposed to love your life. You're supposed to, you know, visualize success and health and wealth, that God wants you to be abundantly successful. And Jesus tells me he who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. If I'm going to serve Jesus and follow him, he certainly does not lead me to a place where I'm supposed to live my best life now, here. Go to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily. And follow me, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he is himself destroyed or lost? That right now is the path that Joel Osteen's on. Oh, he's wealthy. He's a multimillionaire, has many different homes and yachts and cars, and he's gained the whole world, but he's losing his soul. Did the disciples show us to live our best life now? Go to Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 40. They're brought before the Sanhedrin court. They threaten him, don't preach in his name. And look what happens here. It says, and then they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, just beat them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching, preaching Jesus as the Christ. You know why they were able to do that? They were able to do that because Jesus is sufficient. That's all they needed. They just needed Jesus. Didn't care what they did to them. I have Jesus. And whoa, what a blessing it was that we are counted worthy to suffer for his namesake. Wow. In Acts 9:16, Jesus speaks to now Ananias about Paul and says, "For I'll show him many things that he must suffer for my namesake." Hey, make sure you tell Paul he's got to live his best life now. No, you're going to have to suffer for my namesake. How did the Apostle Paul show about living your best life now? Well, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This model that all the name it and claim it preachers and teachers and false apostates teach, you can't find that anywhere in the Word of God. This is now not how people lived their life who gave their lives to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What's the treasure? The gospel. Earthen vessels is us. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen. What do you think that is? The things of this world that will probably bring us pleasure. We don't look towards those things. Those are the things that are seen. But the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Just like Jesus says, don't lay up your treasures here on earth. Don't go after those things that are seen. Now go to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22. Paul is annoyed here in chapter 11. He begins to boast because these false teachers are boasting. And later on, he apologizes. Forgive me for this boast, he says. But he says in verse 22, are they Hebrews? Meaning these false teachers. So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Not just one time, 5 times he was beaten. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in the journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Man, way to go, Paul. Way to live your best life now. In weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger. But you're supposed to have everything. Thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things which come upon me daily. There's not enough ink and a pen for him to write down those things. my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. The theme in Scripture and the gospel of Jesus Christ is not that we can get anything that we want from God if we just believe and visualize and trust that. Our sufficiency is in Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, our sufficiency is in Jesus. I've had someone tell me before, when I said, you know, Jesus died for, okay, besides Jesus dying for him, what else has he done for me? Whoa! If Jesus does nothing more than that, he has done more than enough. And our sufficiency is in that. That's why the disciples said, beat us. We're so thankful that Jesus died for us. We're so thankful for what he's done. We know that our kingdom is not of this world. So we will live our life in this world like we have another kingdom coming to us. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. Nowhere in Scripture do we see the disciples living out the life that is preached by the Word of Faith movement. You won't find it. You won't find it. Now, heresy begets heresy. A false movement always comes from another false movement. And the reason why I started here with the Word of Faith, the prosperity gospel, is because it's given birth to this next apostate movement. It's called the New Apostolic Reformation. This movement talks about that they are part of a movement that God is restoring the lost offices of church governance, namely the office of apostle and prophets. The leading figure of this organization, whether it's Rick Joyner or Peter Wagner or some of the others, they believe that this movement that they are doing is claiming the prophets and apostles, and they alone have the power and authority to execute God's plans and purposes on earth. They believe that they are going to lay the foundation for a global church governed by them. They place great emphasis on dreams and visions and extra-biblical revelation. The New Apostle Reformation springs from this charismatic movement that also came from the Word of Faith movement. They believe that they are there to restore apostles, called, ordained by God to be the government of the emerging New Order Church, and also maintains the government that they are strictly to be obeyed and everybody needs to submit to them. They claim that they hear directly from God, that Jesus visits them in person. Their goal is complete and utter control of the church, subjugation of its current governance to them. They truly believe that the world is awaiting fulfillment of a takeover by a militant church, Joel's army, they call it, that will arise and govern and dominate the world politically and spiritually. Wagner, who oversees this movement, also has what is called the International Coalition of Apostles, ICA. And it's the largest order of apostates on the planet, if you ask me. He says he has over 500 apostles, active apostles today. So, we're going to look at that here. Now, this all began with a group called the Kansas City Prophets. The Kansas City Prophets have people such as Rick Joyner, Paul Kane, Mike Bickle, James Gohl, Lou Engle, and many, many, many more. The Kansas City Prophet movement came along around in the mid-80s to early 90s. As soon as it came along, there was a storm of controversies that surrounded it. They were speaking outlandish prophecies. Nobody really took them under the wing to really organize it until John Wimber did. He foolishly gave them a covering of the Vineyard Church movement. The guy who first started this is by a guy by the name of Mike Bickle, who has a he himself had a vineyard in Kansas City where this started. I think that they dropped the word vineyard, and now it's just church, but it started with him, and then John Wimber came and gave them a covering. Even though that I will give this to John Wimber and the Vineyard Movement, they did try to refute a lot of the heresy that was coming out of this movement. But the damage had already been done. There's guys by name of Bob Jones. There's a guy by name of Paul. And by the way, when I say Bob Jones, it's not the one of Bob Jones University. Okay, I'm going to mention another guy here pretty soon, John Crowder. It's not David Crowder. David Crowder, good. John Crowder, bad. Okay. Bob Jones of the Kansas City Prophets, bad. Bob Jones University, godly guy. Might not agree with all of his theology, but he wasn't this weirdo. It's interesting because a lot of these guys fell into sexual apostasy as well. And yet they're supposedly prophets. Bob Jones was a guy that was part of this. He was one of the main figures of the Kansas City Prophets. He is brought down by his immorality, but his false prophecies are still quoted in the Toronto Airport Church, Vineyard Church. Until late 1995, they are still quoting him. We're going to see him here in a moment. He spoke such prophecies as that the Lord spoke to me clearly. I stood face to face before God, sometimes physically, he would say. The prophecies contained revamped messages from their old heresies, such as manifested sons of God, the last day's super church. Mike Bickle, he's the one, the pastor of the Metro Vineyard Church of Kansas City. The voice, he said that when he was in Egypt in 1982, Bickle heard an audible voice of God. The voice told Bickle, I'm inviting you to raise up a work that will touch the ends of the earth. I've invited many people to do this thing, and many people have said yes, but very few have done my will. In 1986, Bickle and others formed Grace Ministries, which had a number of different facets to its existence. They demanded that, for example, they demanded that all churches in one area should come under their leadership. Thus, all pastors must be united. This theme is being seen today after the Toronto aftermath. A false unity at all costs is to show that this church is powerful. Another facet that they have is a ministry called Shiloh Ministries, a community where prophets live together, share their variations and utterances and visions. They give conferences. They train other prophets. And the guy who oversees this is a guy by the name of Paul Cain that we'll get to here in a moment. Bob Jones, he's considered the resident seer of Kansas City Prophets Ministry. He teaches false doctrines, false prophecy, visions, occult dreams, revelations. He was in a mental hospital, and it's here he claims he was visited by demons regularly. If you ask me, they haven't left him. He claims that Jesus came to him and told him to get his mind back. He must either kill or forgive 12 people he hated. And this guy is supposedly a prophet of God. He gets visit from angelic beings. One is called Dominus. Jones speaks of out-of-body experiences. Dominus and Jones once sat above the Kansas City Prophet building in rocking chairs, looking down, holding hands. How sweet. Oh, I wish I had a picture of that. And the thing is that they're very serious about this. One heresy promoted by Jones is the new breed or the new seed idea. These will be the last days overcomers, powerful, unique. They'll come from the bloodlines of people like Paul, James, and John. Those powerful people will move in signs and wonders constantly, will be like Christ. These are the manifested sons of God. Paul Cain. Jones calls Cain the most anointed prophet in the world. Cain's mother was suffering from four major problems when she gave birth to him. But an angel came to her and said she would give birth to a male whose name would be Paul because he would preach just like the Apostle Paul. At age 8, Cain began to have visits from Christ and God. At age 19, he had a visit from an angel holding a sword and pointing to a billboard. On the billboard was a message, Joel's army now in training. Cain asked the Lord what it meant. The Lord took him through the book of Joel, showing him that the church of the last days was Joel's army, a new breed of super Christians. They will be invincible, powerful, will take the whole world for Christ. They would be fully unified and even divine-like. Cain began to tell people minute details of their lives, another spiritualistic faculty, and God told Cain's associate to serve Cain all the days of his life. In places where he speaks, there are often electrical power surges and even blowing of circuits, which are attributed to his heavy prophetic anointing. It's interesting to me that Paul Cain fell into sin and became an unrepentant practicing homosexual in 2004. Greatest prophet of the day, Jones said. We're supposed to serve him all the days of his life. And from this and all the strange things that are happening amongst these people, all of a sudden, I think it was in 1994, could you play that tape called The Toronto Blessing? We're going to actually play a tape, and it's going to be, he's going to talk about this Kundalini spirit, and then he'll explain what it is.
Hi, I'm Andrew Strom, author of the book Kundalini Warning. Are false spirits invading the church? The stuff that's been invading in the last, say, 16 to 17 years, I believe it's the worst invasion in church history. So we've got a lot to look at. And my background is I've been involved in the charismatic movement myself for over 25 years. I've been part of the prophetic movement. I was part of that movement for 11 years. So I saw all of this incredibly alarming and disturbing stuff coming in while I was involved. Now, the basic question that we're asking in this documentary is, why are these manifestations so similar to Eastern religions and Hinduism and the Kundalini cults, and yet they're not found in Scripture, they're not found in the Bible, they're not found in classical Christianity at all? Of course, in Hinduism, one of the most common ways of experiencing a Kundalini awakening is through a guru placing his hand upon your forehead. This is called Shaktipat. And when they do that, you'll be infused with this incredible love and this wave of emotion. You'll fall down. There'll be all these manifestations, maybe animal noises, joy and weeping and shaking. This is a Kundalini awakening, and amazingly, it is exactly the same as what we have been seeing. Isn't it incredible that starting around 1994, this stuff could invade the entire charismatic church movement almost worldwide on a vast scale, and yet it's absolutely identical, seemingly, to Kundalini Hinduism? Now, one of the very clearest signs of a Kundalini awakening has always been these kriyas. You see this woman involved in the New Age movement, she's walking along exhibiting these kriyas happening, involuntary jerking motions, and the staggering thing about it is that we are seeing again and again and again these exact same type of kriyas. This has always been one of the clearest signs of Kundalini that we know of. A friend of mine from South Africa who's done a tremendous amount of research on this topic says that Kundalini is like a false Holy Spirit. It produces even miracles and healings, infusions of love and power and energy and emotion and all these kinds of things, and yet it's the Hindu version of the Holy Spirit, and it's not holy.
That's it for another edition of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. If you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up, you can download our free mobile app. It's a great way to take any of Pastor Dave's teachings with you wherever you go. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search for Calvary Castle Rock. Once you've installed the app, open it up and click on Teachings, and then go to On the Radio. There you can listen to today's segment or any of the previous segments by broadcast date. You can also subscribe to our radio audio podcast. If you want to learn more about our ministry, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. That's calvarycr.com. As always, thanks again for listening in today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.